The opinions and commentary expressed on the program you're about to hear do not necessarily reflect the views of this station, its management, or its advertisers, but it may weigh heavily on what's between your ears. It's the Krieger Files with Dave Krieger, brought to you by a network of radio stations who care about the communities they serve. Alexa, turn on the Krieger Files.
Okay, here we are on our Thursday edition. You gotta love that, huh? Get you all pumped up. We got that music going on in the background. We're gonna be repeating this broadcast on satellite as we are now live. 208-216-6100, the number to call if you want to chime in on anything we're talking about this morning. Again, we repeat the broadcast, but it's not live. It's gonna be a repeat of this broadcast at 11 a.m. Central Time. On Channel 1 of Global Star 3, and that booms over Galaxy 19 satellite for those of you who spread the word. Lots of news this morning, little snippets. There is a company that makes hurricane-resistant, hurricane-impact glass is what they call it. It's called PGT. It's, you know, I don't really like them as well as I do some of the other brands, but PGT bought one of the bigger manufacturers out there, and now people are going to be celebrating Thanksgiving this year with one thing on their minds, which wasn't there last year, and it's called unemployment. 200 people are about to be laid off from the third largest private employer in Sarasota County, Florida, and it's probably because, you know, this is New South is who they bought, Miter Brands, PGT, they're all kind of interconnected, and of course, we have a hurricane that hit, and that has also slowed things down. And so they're realigning the workforce, not something the team takes lightly. And so I love it when they say, we have provided affected team members with the information to successfully move forward to the next step in their careers. Yeah, how is that? I mean, if you're going to lay them off, I mean, that, you know, we told you yesterday that a bunch of employees up at Boeing were going to get laid off. So, I mean, we knew that. So, you know, what else don't we know? Alex Newman will be joining us on the show later on. He is just put out an article on the UN plotting to change standardized tests to green education globally. This is something that we're going to have to definitely get right with. Once the Trump administration kicks in, we're definitely going to have to withdraw from a lot of different things. When we were talking about layoffs and whatnot, Ford, if you hadn't heard, is slashing 4,000 plus jobs in Europe. The cities are weakened by EV sales, of course, and economic headwinds. Nobody wants to buy electric vehicles because they're not that well developed yet. So Ford decided it's going to have to lay off 4,000 people. So right now, with all the layoffs I just announced, it's 4,200 people out of a job. It really, you know, for those of you that are watching what's going on over in Ukraine, like I said yesterday on the show, it really looks like permanent Washington just loves the war in Ukraine, even though the Ukrainians don't. More than half of the warring country citizens thinks their government should seek to negotiate an end to the war. Less than 40% support continuing to fight until the victory is achieved. Good luck with that. Russia, of course, we're talking about Dmitry Peskov, telling reporters that looks like the outgoing Biden administration is fully committed to continuing the war in Ukraine and are doing everything they can to do so. And, of course, yesterday, as you probably heard, they're putting these anti-personnel mines. They're sending them over there. And so what the Kremlin did yesterday is they launched an ICBM into Ukraine. Now, it wasn't equipped with nuclear warheads, even though ICBMs are specifically designed to carry nuclear warheads. This is basically an ominous reminder of what could be on the horizon if they continue this garbage and they keep launching missiles on Russia. So they're apparently, from what we understand, and this is not going to stop, the Biden administration, yeah, your friends and mine, and I don't believe it's just the administration. I think Congress is involved in this as well. but they're being told, and I'm talking about the new caravan that's approaching the United States right now. Aspiring illegal immigrants are plotting to take advantage of the Biden administration's open border policies so long as they remain in effect. And according to a new report, there's 1,500 foreigners that have formed a new caravan in Mexico yesterday, hoping to walk or catch rides to the U.S. border before Trump takes office. I really think y'all need to just forget about it. Yeah, we got to talk like Texans. Yeah, because we don't know that you're going to be, we're going to let you in. It's going to be more difficult to break America's laws once Trump is president. That's why we're going in hopes of getting an appointment quicker so we're able to cross before he takes office, a Venezuelan national told the Associated Press. You know, it's amazing that the AP is down there sticking a mic in people's faces. Huh. Well, it's because the Biden administration is making its immigration policies even more lax now that they're on their way out the door and they know it. They are reportedly working to develop an app for the phone that will allow invaders to bypass in-person check-ins at their local ICE offices. And the new app is expected to debut next month. It will not check for past arrests or outstanding warrants. It'll make it easier for criminal illegals to flee authorities because of glitchy and unreliable software. The government is expected to enroll up to 100,000 people in the first wave of the program. So this behavior is just the opposite of a peaceful transition of power. It's an obstructionist transition, according to CBP Commissioner Mark Morgan, the former acting CBP commissioner. What they're trying to do in the last final days, they're going to try to put up as many roadblocks and obstacles and throw as many grenades as they can on their way out the door. The app will make future stories like Lake and Riley's far more likely. I mean, you have to understand what's going on here, and you're not calling your congressman and senator and saying, hey, what are you going to do about this? I mean, they literally could stop this if they wanted to, but apparently our government is not just, they're very slow to move. This is a problem. It's like the wheels of justice grind slowly. But the problem is that when you have all these people that are migrating across the border, well, they don't care about the wheels of justice because they move faster than the wheels of justice do. And so they don't need to worry about that. They think they've got a way to get in here. They don't have a problem with it. And the Biden administration is going to make it easier for them. So I guess we have to determine here that the Biden administration is probably, when it comes to our safety and promoting the general welfare, that the Biden administration is the worst administration on record and probably has broken more laws than the Carter administration did. So MSNBC and CNBC are on the chopping block as Comcast. Oh, yeah. They have this little thing. It's called SpinCo. And that's what they're calling it. And they're going to take all these NBC Universal Cable TV networks, including MSNBC, CNBC, USA Oxygen, E! Sci-Fi, the Golf Channel. Yeah, Bravo will stay in the mothership, but the rest of them are going to get spun off. Because you see, there's a lot of people out there that don't want to watch anything but Peacock and Real Housewives. You know, they like seeing other people more miserable than they are. Because we all sit around and just foment about how bad life is while Eva Longoria and what's her face? Ellen DeGeneres. Yeah, she and her lover just took off. Yeah, they left and, you know, Eva Longoria left. You know, a lot of these people, apparently Scott Baio, the actor, was reading off a list of names of people that went to P. Diddy's freak-offs. They were there watching P. Diddy and others, you know, gang bang minors. So apparently, you know, maybe they're getting out of the country before the proverbial caca hits the fan. Maybe they don't want to be here because they're going to get hauled in and they know it. This is a problem, isn't it? Yeah, it's one of the things that, you know, we don't want to recognize if you're one of these people out there that are notoriously famous for being involved with P. Diddy. Well, guess what? Maybe that's one of the reasons they're taking off, because they know their time is coming. They're going to get named, and then the word's going to get out. And, you know, we'll tell you what Marjorie Taylor Greene has done now, how she's affecting Gates' nomination. We'll be back with that story after these messages. Stay with us.
Many Americans are growing increasingly concerned about the rapidly growing U.S. government deficits, recognizing the additional printing of paper money devalues U.S. currency. To compensate, American gold and silver coins will provide wealth protection. U.S. coin capital provides physical gold and silver coins delivered directly to our clients. You can reach us at 1-800-878-2646, uscoincapital.com.
From the ranks of the disenfranchised, it's the government's worst nightmare. It's the Krieger Files.
Okay, back in the saddle at 18 after the hour here. We're getting reports about the 12 UK Storm Shadow missiles that were fired into Russia, according to local sources. Zero Hedge is reporting that more details have emerged. This was a missile attack from Ukraine on Russia using UK Storm Shadow missiles, which is one of the reasons why, if Russia is going to analyze all of the fragments of these missiles that have landed and exploded, and they're definitely going to be looking into whether or not to wreak World War III havoc on the UK, on Paris, on Berlin, on DC, on New York. I mean, here's the thing, Vladimir, if you're listening out there, which, you know, your sources may be, we implore you to understand that it's not we the people that are doing this. We the people have already made our voices heard that we don't want war. We want to live in peace. We don't want these illegal immigrants here. We don't like the immigration. I'm sure you don't like it either, and we understand why you're putting this BRICS program together, because you don't want any part of what the U.S. is fomenting and what they're pontificating. You don't. We know you don't like Biden. You think he's an idiot. We know that. But please, you know, I mean, if you're going to nuke anything, Vlad, please don't nuke the rest of the continental United States. I mean, you know where our political and our financial centers are. I mean, you've already got this all figured out. So, I mean, you know, if you're going to do the dirty, you know where the people who are the decision makers who have screwed this country over multiple times, you know where they are. I'm sure you can find them, but just could you leave the rest of us alone? You know, you've got to send a message to Biden. I mean, you know where he lives. He's got a little compound out there in Rehoboth Beach or Rehoboth Beach or what do you want to call it. It's in, on the coast of Delaware. You know, he likes to wander around in the sand. I mean, you know, you got these intercontinental ballistic missiles. I mean, you know, Vlad, just leave the rest of us alone if you're going to do this. You know, I know they think I'm fomenting war here. You know, Russia is sick and tired of our involvement. We get to play world cop and stick our nose into places because deep state said so. Well, we don't want any of this. We want to be left alone. We don't want people messing with us. We don't want people. See, the more we get involved in other people's problems, the more, one, they hate our guts. And two, you know, it just gives them more impetus to, you know, death to the infidel. And we don't want it. I mean, loud and clear. I mean, we went to the polls and we told the Biden administration, but do you really think they give a rat's, you know what? Of course they don't. In the meantime, the Texas General Land Office has offered President-elect Donald Trump a 1,400-acre ranch in a county located near the U.S.-Mexico border to start building centers for mass deportations. This, according to Land Office Commissioner Don Buckingham, said in a press release and a letter to the President-elect. The land in Starr County was recently bought by the state, and she was writing to formally offer 1,402 acres of land in Starr County to be used to construct deportation facilities, adding the parcel is located about 35 miles to the west of McAllen. Adding her office is fully prepared to work with the feds and all the agencies out there, saying a facility could be built on the tract of land for processing, detention, and coordination of the largest deportation of violent criminals in the nation's history. So all those people that are down there that happen to have access to this show and other shows that are broadcasting the same thing, Buckingham's office told Trump that Texas purchased the ranch with the intent to construct its own 1.4-mile border wall on an area bordering the Rio Grande after the land's owner had declined to allow the wall to be constructed on the property and had blocked the law enforcement from entering the area. So you see, all of these deportations, it's finally come back to bite these people in the butt. And they're realizing, hey, if I don't let them build a wall, I know it's going to look ungodly. But if I don't allow them to build a wall, I'm liable to really face the music because they'll let these people roam on my land deliberately. You see how people think? How do they know that's not true? How do we know they're not going to let them just roam on their land and wreak all sorts of hell on these property owners? I mean, they already have. I mean, we'll have more Lake and Riley's if they allow 100,000 more criminals into the country. So I really think the Biden administration, and here's Congress and the Senate, that just sit idly by on their keisters and allow this to go on. Because they know any legislation they pass between now and January 20th that has anything to do with stopping this garbage, he's going to veto. So, you know, there you have it. I mean, really, I really would like to see, as I'm sure all of the rest of you would that are listening to the show, that as soon as Biden leaves office, the DOJ and Gates prosecute Biden and his family, freeze their assets. Oh, yeah. Freeze their bank accounts because we don't know that that money wasn't illegally obtained. There is a method to the madness in Biden and China. I mean, they're right in the Chinese back pocket of the CCP, you know, the Biden family is. Yeah, they've been bought off. We all know it. There's no denying it. Yesterday in fraud news, Gautam Adani, one of the world's richest people and chair of the Adani Group, was charged by U.S. prosecutors with participating in a bribery scheme in which more than $250 million was sent to the Indian government and their officials there to obtain solar energy contracts. Adani and other defendants were charged in New York federal court for fraud. Prosecutors accused them of lying about their plan when raising money from U.S. investors. Meanwhile, Archegos founder Bill Huang got 18 years in the slammer for massive fraud that led to more than $10 billion in losses for Wall Street banks. And FTX co-founder Gary Wang avoided prison time for his role in the historic fraud orchestrated by Sam Bankman-Fried because of his cooperation with the government. So you see, as long as you can make deals with the government, that's a good thing, right? In Bucks County, Pennsylvania, there's a lot going on, and it's pretty nasty. Their citizens are rather peeved because the commissioners, they're sitting there allowing votes to be counted that aren't supposed to be counted. You know, the Pennsylvania Supreme Court specifically said, if you are counting undated or misstated mail ballots, you're doing it in direct defiance of the Pennsylvania Supreme Court. I mean, they've already called the race for Dave McCormick. But, you know, people violate laws anytime they want, according to Diane Ellis Marsaglia, who's a Democrat, commissioner's chair. And she said, I plan to count every single one of those mail-in ballots. There's nothing more important than counting votes. So for me, if I violate this law, it's because I want the court to pay attention. You know, see, if the court issues an order, all somebody has to do is file a contempt citation against this woman. And when she doesn't show up, they lock her up. They go out and they arrest her because she's in the state of Pennsylvania, the Commonwealth, excuse me. I misspoke there. But, of course, Bucks County residents packed the place. They showed up in droves at the commission meeting to call her out for allegedly trying to break the law. And, of course, all the apologies and everything else is not going to help anything. I mean, literally, if it gets to the point where these county commissioners do not understand what's going on, what happens when these people show up with baseball bats or guns and they decide, look, if you're going to break the law and the sheriff's not going to do anything after we complain, then we're going to take matters into our own hands and make a citizen's arrest. And if you fight us, we're going to make sure you don't walk out of here in one piece. I mean, how do you know it's not going to happen? People are so getting frustrated and PO'd with the way these county commissioners are behaving. And now we're really starting to zero in on these vote fraud. You know, they're busting people for voter fraud. I mean, when's it going to stop? And just like the war, the Biden administration has reversed its policy and approved anti-personnel mines for Ukraine. Yep. They want to, nothing like a little claymore, you know. These are anti-tank mines, but anti-personnel, you know, the same thing. They hit a little tripwire and kaboom, you know, directional hit. That's the Biden administration for you. They really want to work with Deep State there to push World War III. It's like Deep State is daring Russia to launch nukes on us so we can have mutual assured destruction because, you know, frankly, Deep State, maybe they used all of our tax dollars to build bunkers with so they can hide there while the rest of us all suffer from radiation damage. Speaking of damage, People Magazine has decided to come out and smear Dennis Prager as far right after the Prager University founder has suffered an injury due to a fall and has been hospitalized with serious back injuries. And, of course, the party is Charlotte Philippe. Attacked both Prager and his organization as far right. Yeah, whatever. See, now you can tell maybe we don't need to buy People Magazine anymore. Maybe we need to stop buying it and send a message that we don't like it. And, of course, one commentator that was looking at this article said Prager is conservative, not far right. If Dennis is far right, then Oprah's a communist, another remarked. Dennis Prager may be conservative, but he's certainly not far right, whatever you deem that to be. He was a libertarian who eventually became a Republican. Do you think you unfairly tried to label him as something derogatory, which he's not, according to another writer? So, Dennis Prager's not a woke progressive socialist man. He's conservative, but that doesn't make him far right, another said. No one, not everyone, of course, disagrees with far left is automatically far right. You see, this is the thing. They're all in on it. And it's not Prager. It's other people in the government. I mean, you know about the uniparty system. We don't have to educate you about that. So anyway, Alex Newman joins us. He's got an article about the UN plotting to screw America through this green education policy. We'll be getting Alex on the horn with us after the news break here on the Krieger Files on this Thursday. Stay with us.
Taking back America, one consumer at a time. It's the Krieger Files.
Okay, we're back after the news break here, and I dug up some other stuff. Alex Newman joins us. Gee, it just seems like only yesterday that we were having this conversation, Alex, and I appreciate you chipping in on our timetable there during election night coverage. Always good to have you back. Yeah, always good to have you back on our show.
It's great to be here. Appreciate it.
And of course, we have Liberty Sentinel. .substack.com, is that right?
.org, yeah. LibertySentinel.substack.com, and my website is LibertySentinel.org and TheNewAmerican.com.
Right. All right. Well, see, now, since you're so plugged into what's going on up in D.C., Alex, I mean, you're probably one of the you've gotten closer to the administration than most journalists out there, and I'm kind of curious as to your take about this Department of Government Efficiency. Do you think Vivek and Elon are going to be running into brick walls?
Well, there's no question that they are. I mean, the bureaucracy, not just in the United States, but everywhere in the world, is like a law of bureaucratic organizations. Will always fight to preserve itself, will always fight to expand its budget, will always fight to expand its personnel, its power, its jurisdiction. And, of course, that is no different in the United States, where we're supposed to have a constitution to restrain these things. But, the real question is, what are going to be Vivek Ramaswamy's priorities? What are going to be Elon Musk's priorities? And I think, you know, to the extent that it involves cutting the size and scope of government, that's going to be really good. But I almost think there's a little bit of a danger here in talking about government efficiency. I don't know that this is how they mean it, but we don't want to get this idea that we want to be obsessed with government efficiency because, in fact, our founding fathers designed government to be deliberately inefficient, right? They wanted it to be very difficult to pass laws, to change the Constitution, to repeal things. The perfect efficiency would be a single dictator who could control everything and there'd be no problems with efficiency. So I do hope they're going to be cutting the size and scope of government. They've already started soliciting requests for information on where cutting can begin, and so I'm encouraged by that. Both of them have some interesting things in their background that I think really need to be talked about in the context of everything else going on. Now, Elon Musk, of course, has been a huge advocate for a carbon tax, And he has not slowed that down just because he's been working with Trump, who talks about the climate scam. And I just got back from Azerbaijan, the UN COP29, and this is a huge, huge element of the globalist agenda, right? Is convincing people that CO2 is pollution and that it needs to be controlled, regulated, taxed. So we've got that going. And then we have, Vivek Ramaswamy, who comes out of the world of big pharma, big tech. I've talked to him before, and his heart seems to be in the right place on a lot of things. He actually, when I spoke to him, when I interviewed him, he was very favorable to getting the United States out of the United Nations, chopping whole departments, which I thought was really encouraging. He reminded me a bit of Javier Milei with his afuera ideas. Just shut him down. And that's certainly what we need. But one thing that rubbed me a little bit the wrong way, Dave, was that he was very much leading people to believe that he was a Christian. He was handing out these pieces of paper that it was, and the first thing we believe is that God is real. And, yes, God is real, self-evidently, Romans 1, everybody knows God is real, even the ones who pretend that they don't. But, what exactly does that mean to you, Vivek? Because, of course, he's a Hindu, he's a pagan. And so I asked him about the United States, and I explained to him, and of course he knows this, that the United States was really founded based on biblical principles of government, of culture, of society, of economy. And, what do you think about those? And his answer was kind of a cop-out. I agree with the moral principles outlined in the Bible. Like, okay. So that's a long way of answering that, Dave, but just a little bit of what I've been able to gather about what's important on these two characters and the upcoming war on government inefficiency.
Well, and they're trying to keep us in, get us closer to World War III, too. But the bigger problem now that everybody's freaking out over, and I know they are, is that all of these Trump picks to be in his cabinet, including Matt Gaetz, this whole thing, Marjorie Taylor Greene has just taken to the news, slamming her Republican colleagues, talking about releasing these ethics reports, telling him to put it all out there, which means basically that, hey, I got skeletons, everybody's got skeletons, and so if we're going to release ethics reports and rip apart our own that Trump has appointed, then put it all out there. And that means all the ethics reports, including the one I filed, which apparently talks about the taxpayer money and the Epstein files. And what have you heard about that? And what's your take on Green's slap at the House Ethics Committee?
Well, I think Green serves a very valuable role in the U.S. House of Representatives, and we've interviewed her many times at the New American. She's a bit of a firebrand, and I think we need people like that in the modern era. You have this uniparty deep state monster, and anybody who comes along and thinks a little bit differently is immediately attacked. But I think the fact that Matt Gaetz is being attacked like this actually shows that he was a good pick by Trump. What you're going to find here is a very consistent pattern. The best picks that Trump makes are going to be the ones that get the most heat, the most flack from the deep state, from the uniparty, from the fake media, and even, unfortunately, from the Republican caucus. So I think we would be very, very naive, and I know you know this, Dave, and I know your listeners do as well, to just assume that what the media presents as reality is true, right? That there's this Republican Party and there's this Democrat Party and they're always and everywhere opposed to each other. No. There's a uniparty in Washington, D.C., and there are some Republicans who don't play ball, people like Marjorie Taylor Greene, people like Matt Gaetz, people like Congressman Thomas Massie. And then there's the blob, the uniparty blob. And we're going to see a lot of that blob coming into view in the U.S. Senate if and when these Senate confirmation hearings kick off, because what we will see is rhino Republicans trying to stop Trump's best picks. I anticipate quite a few rhinos being peeled off with the Democrats to vote against Matt Gaetz. I anticipate quite a few rhinos being peeled off to vote against Pete Hegseth, who I know. I anticipate quite a few rhinos being peeled off to vote against Robert F. Kennedy. And they'll come up with, good excuses that seem legitimate, that seem to make them good conservatives. Like we see Mike Pence now going after the pro-life credentials of people like Kennedy and Gaetz. Don't think for one moment that Pence is concerned about the lives of unborn babies. Of course, I am. And it does trouble me that we have people who aren't sufficiently pro-life being considered for these places. But I think the good that they bring to the table drastically outweighs those concerns. And to think for one moment that these rhinos in the Senate and even in the House, the ones that are plotting on releasing these ethics findings and things, are really concerned about ethics or pro-life is just absolute foolishness. This is a swamp deep state effort to derail any serious efforts at reform. And so the ones that get the most attacked, I think, are the ones that we need to rally around the most.
Well, you know, my corporate attorney has always told me that when you're over the target, you're going to catch flack. I mean, that goes without saying. But, you know, Tulsi is also in the firing line. They got a target on her as well, you know, for DNI. So,
yeah,
kind of crazy.
There are some concerns I have about Tulsi, too. I quite like what she's been saying in recent years. But, you know, she was listed on the World Economic Forum's website as a young global leader, as Klaus Schwab calls it, along with Vladimir Putin and Justin Trudeau and a whole bunch of the clown car, Angela Merkel. But, you know, she's also got troubling connections to communist movements in her past. But I think the reason why the deep state swamp can't stand her is because she's a threat to the perpetual war system, and she's also a threat to the domestic espionage apparatus. She, of course, was a victim of this herself, and you know, I suspect that she's going to want to try to clean some of that up. And there are millions of people involved in this machine whose lives, careers, and potentially even freedom are on the line if somebody truly comes in there, starts investigating what was going on, and starts trying to fix it. So she's another one that I hope will make it through. And I think she's got some good ideas, but I hope Trump will be keeping an eye on everybody and making sure that they're all, you know, staying in line. So,
well, I've been accumulating a lot of articles on Trump's picks. And so, you know, every time that, you know, we talk about certain people, I try to do as much background as I can. But, you know, like anything with the media that's reporting, like, here's Ellen DeGeneres and her lover just took off for Europe, and Eva Longoria just took off for Mexico or Spain, wherever. She's got property everywhere. I mean, they've done so well. And I'm looking at more and more people leaving, especially the ones that are connected to P. Diddy in some way, shape, or form. This is another scandal that I think is going to rock Hollywood and possibly even put them in their place. What's your take on that?
Yeah, I think there's a lot of people who are not sleeping well right now, Dave, for quite a few reasons. There are a lot of people who've been involved in horrific criminal activity, betraying the United States, trampling all over the Constitution, weaponizing the law enforcement and judicial systems against innocent Americans for political purposes, and, of course, even horrific things like child abuse and bizarre things involving sex trafficking. Epstein and P. Diddy are the tip of the tip of the tip of the iceberg. And, of course, the people who are involved in that, now that they see that there's a new sheriff in town who isn't necessarily part of the club, who's appointing people who aren't part of the club, these people are quaking in their boots. There are actually a very high-profile, very powerful attorneys in Washington, D.C., who are advising some of their clients to flee the country immediately, people who have worked in the Department of Justice, people who work in the Biden administration and in the Obama administration, who are involved in everything from Al-Qaeda to the United States.
Yeah, it's amazing how that works. You know, it's amazing that you actually managed to travel to Azerbaijan and your network put you there and funded this trip. This is what I love about it, folks. You know, we have independent journalists out there that are actually paying attention. We'll talk about what happened over there with Alex Newman when we come back from the break here. Stay with us.
Many Americans are growing increasingly concerned about the rapidly growing U.S. government deficits. Recognizing the additional printing of paper money devalues U.S. currency. To compensate, American gold and silver coins will provide wealth protection. U.S. Coin Capital provides physical gold and silver coins delivered directly to our clients. You can reach us at 1-800-878-2646, uscoincapital.com.
Molesting your earballs one more time. It's the Krieger Files with your host, Dave Krieger.
And we're back for our final 12 minutes of the Thursday edition here. Alex Newman is on the horn with us. He joins us for this broadcast. I appreciate your jumping in at the last minute, but you've been a busy man over in Azerbaijan. And, of course, the story that has been put out, where can people find this? Because I think they need to read it in full.
Well, thank you, Dave. And so I've filed quite a few stories since I left the country. Easiest place to find them is thenewamerican.com or libertysentinel.org. And I'm actually working on a cover story for the New American magazine as we speak. That'll be coming out in just about a week and a half, breaking down where we are going on this climate hoax. And I hope people understand this is the narrative. This is the issue that underpins the construction of global government, the technocratic global economic system, and even the push for a unified one world religious system based on radically new values. So this is a critical thing, and that's why you're not hearing it from the fake media.
Yeah, for sure. And I'm glad you wrote about it, because the more I read the article, I'm just like, holy smokes, these people are really serious. And this is one of the reasons why yesterday on the show, and of course the day before that and the day before that, I would like to encourage the Trump administration to encourage the United Nations to move to Brussels and get them
Brussels
out of this.
Havana would work nice.
Havana? I don't know. I don't want them that close.
All right, yeah, Pyongyang,
yeah, send them, say they can fly into Schiphol. I don't think Havana, I don't think the Cubans would tolerate that very well. Anyway, they don't understand what we're going through here with this United Nations that, you know, the Roosevelt family, or Rockefellers rather, gave them the ground that the UN sits on, but they seriously could take that and turn that into a complex for homeless veterans to live in and get, you know, reoriented back into society and teach them skills and teach them to be functional, that they are worthy of our attention and our love and support because of the fact that they served and took an oath to defend this country. And I think that, you know, the homeless population of veterans got a real slap in the face, and it continues to do so as long as the borders remain open. But back on this thing with Azerbaijan, first off, you've been to some place that I've never been. How many times have you been over there?
This is my first trip to Azerbaijan, and we also stopped for a little while in Qatar in Doha, so that was an interesting place as well. Hamas and the Taliban have major offices there. We looked for them. I wanted to go knock on their door. But,
oh, my. Yeah, so, yeah. I mean, was it you were safe the whole time you were there, or did you have a crew with you? I mean, how'd that work?
Yeah, my colleague Andrew Mueller came with me. I like to go to these things with at least one colleague. Azerbaijan, for those who don't know, and very few Americans have ever heard of Azerbaijan, it's an Islamo-Marxist dictatorship, former Soviet republic, and the mass-murdering dictator during the Soviet days died and left his son in charge. So his son is now still in charge, and it's a nasty, nasty place, very poor, very totalitarian. You criticize the government, they lock you up, they torture you, they grab your family. They just actually last year finished ethnically cleansing one of the oldest Christian nations in the world. Nobody heard about it because they paid off the Democrats in Congress through lobbying groups to keep their mouths shut, so nobody said anything about it. But, yeah, whole nation, a whole republic of Christians, been there almost 2,000 years, just wiped off the map last year by the Azerbaijani regime. So not really nice people. I'm not going to lie, I was a little bit concerned about flying into the airport in Baku.
Yeah, I bet you were. The UN COP29 summit, basically, they've all agreed that we need to brainwash our kids. That's basically the bottom line.
Yeah, so the big takeaway from this is supposed to be money. You know, every year there's a theme, like a primary objective, a mission statement of the COP. And so I try to go to these every year. Last year, the big theme was we have to phase out oil. And so what better place to host the next year's COP this year's than Azerbaijan, where 90% of the exports are literally oil and gas. But one of the big takeaways that every single one of them, this has been consistent for several decades now, is the importance of indoctrinating children. And so under the leadership of Azerbaijan and UNESCO, the UN's education agency, the big announcement that they made this year is that they're now going to be adding climate literacy, what they call climate literacy, to what they call the PISA test. This is like the international SAT. Children in almost 100 countries take this to see kind of where they rank with other students around the world. And they were bragging that this is going to show us which national governments are doing the best job indoctrinating their children with climate change propaganda. So this is really, Dave, the ultimate example of watermelon. Right. The Azerbaijanis are communists, literally. I mean, in the truest sense of the term, the same people that were running the Soviet Republic are running the current regime. And somehow, even though they've 90% of their exports is oil, 50% of their GDP is oil, somehow they're the new face of green, and they're going to teach our kids, along with the UN, to be good climate warriors and green global citizens. So you couldn't make this stuff up. They're, again, watermelons because they're green on the outside, but red on the inside. And so coming soon, by 2029, they say every school, every child, every country in the world is going to be testing its children on whether they're sufficiently brainwashed with this climate nonsense. And that's their plan, right? Just like Hitler understood, if you want to control the future, You've got to control the minds of the young people today.
That's pretty scary stuff, Alex. This is a real problem because the United States of America, we don't want a bunch of Greta Thunbergs running around. We don't need that. Parents don't need to have angry children running around at home every time they pass gas at the dinner table, start screaming about carbon tax and screaming about this, that, and the other with climate change when, you know, we've got, you know, we're, what, 30 years behind in technology in perfecting solar. We're not ready to make that switch yet. And so, you know, they want to take away stuff, drive up the cost of living. I think that the United Nations, it would be better served if it was elsewhere, but do you see any plans or have you heard of any plans for the United States government to get us A, out of the UN and B, to not fund them anymore, to not, you know, cut off all their funding?
Well, whether we'll get completely out of the UN remains to be seen. Now, for the first time ever, we have bills in both houses of Congress to do just that. It's called the Defund Act, which stands for a disentangling entirely from the United Nations Debacle Act. So that's very encouraging. We've got it again in both houses of Congress for the first time ever. And if Donald Trump's first term is anything to go by, the UN is going to be looking for cover here very soon. He got us out of UNESCO, the UN Education Agency. He slapped sanctions on the International Criminal Court. He got us out of UNRWA. He got us out of the World Health Organization. He got us out of the Paris Agreement. I actually spoke with the chief of staff at the EPA from the first term and asked her about this, whether we're going to get out of the Paris Agreement again. And she said, not only are we going to get out of the Paris Agreement, we're going to try to get out of the UNFCCC, the UN Framework Convention on Climate Change, the treaty that underpins the Paris Agreement. So I think they're going to be in some big trouble. I think we all need to be pushing to completely get out of the UN. Whether we'll make that objective this time around remains to be seen. But if we keep that as the objective, we'll move closer to it than we would have otherwise. So I encourage people to be on the phone with their members of Congress if this is an issue that's important to them and recognize that the UN is the instrument of global control, right? It is the tool for bringing about global government. And so to the extent that we can neutralize that, we can preserve our sovereignty, our freedom, and our independence.
Well, and the thing is, too, is that deep state and everybody else says, and this is a Lindsey Graham sect, that are all saying, oh, no, we have to fight the war over there so it doesn't come over here. Well, the war is already here vis-a-vis the UN, because as long as the UN is allowed to stay in the United States and not be moved, I mean, they're kind of like they're hypocrites and reprobates in that they don't want to get rid of this global nonsense and just move it to some other country that supports it. I mean, we don't have to take part in any of this. This is one of the reasons why we're one of the wealthiest countries in the world. And if we tolerate this greening education and our children are being brainwashed or indoctrinated in the sense of the word, as long as this is allowed to continue here, it's going to disrupt the family unit and it's going to increase our cost of living. That would be a logical and rational statement, would it not?
Absolutely. There's no question about it. In fact, one of the main objectives of this whole climate process is to dismantle the economy of the United States and the middle class of the United States. It has nothing to do with climate, right? They're shutting down our energy systems. They're shutting our energy exploration, our infrastructure, and they're shipping it all to communist China, which is building two new coal-fired power plants every week. So even if you believe that CO2 is pollution, which is, of course, preposterous, it's absurd, but even if you believe that, the worst possible thing you could do is shut down American energy, American business, American manufacturing, and ship it to communist China. But that's exactly what they're doing, and we're borrowing Chinese money to shut down our own economy and destroy our own middle class. This is criminal, Dave, and it's all happening through the UN.
Of course. And then to top that off, there's something about carbon. They used to teach us about carbon dioxide as far as what is necessary for photosynthesis. I mean, plants need carbon dioxide in order to survive. Like, they give off oxygen. I mean, this is what we were taught. They would literally have to upend the entire educational system in this country to make that work. I don't see it happening. Do you?
Well, they're working very hard on that, and the UNESCO is already playing a major role in our schools. But if Donald Trump is able to do even half of what he has said he's going to do, these tyrants are in for some very, very serious headaches over the next 4 years. So I hope everybody will get involved. Don't just say, oh, well, Trump's got it all under control. He needs all hands on deck if we're actually going to move this monster. And this is a really good place to start, indoctrination. Fine.
I would think that if it'd be possible for him to use veto power to stop our Congress from doing anything that moves in that direction. And I realize that there, yeah, you know that. I mean, he's got veto power. He literally can say, you know what? Unless you people agree to move the UN out of this country, I'm going to veto every single bill you bring to me for the entire duration of this administration. Wouldn't that be something?
Amen.
Alex Newman, thanks so much for joining us. We will be back with our Friday edition. In the meantime, God bless you. God bless the United States of America. Teach your children well, folks. No more green education. This is nonsense. We can't let the UN in here. Call your Congress people. Make a difference. Make life worth living. See you tomorrow.